I've been given this topic where I have to talk about preparing for effective ministry. I hope you have seen that in your programs. Brothers, we are here at the college where we study the Word of God and everything about the ministry. I hope this is because every one of us, or many of us, feel or believe that they have been called to the ministry. I wish I was here yesterday. I don't know whether you did discuss the issue, but we are still going to discuss it in class, where and how every one of us was called to the ministry. So we are here as the people who are preparing ourselves for the ministry. But now our topic suggests that our ministry have to be effective, because some people might be involved in the ministry and not knowing exactly what they are aiming for, what are they busy with. So it is good if a person knows, what is my goal with this ministry? So how are you going to see and judge whether the ministry is effective or not? That's what we will be looking at today. Well, being at the college, it means we want to prepare ourselves for the ministry. We know many professions where people will go to the colleges and study and be skilled as to how to do whatever job they are going to be doing. So having come to the college, we want to sharpen our skills so that whatever we do for the Lord, we bring good results. We find ourselves doing the work that God will be pleased with and God will appreciate. Some people will think that the ministry is successful, is effective, when maybe they see a large group of people coming to the church, or the church growing faster in number. And sometimes they will be happy and say, you know, this ministry is effective. Look, how many cars are parking outside, how many people are attending, therefore we are impacting the community. Or some people will think of their churches and see how well structured they are. They have some qualified ministers and they have professionals in their churches, and think that this ministry is successful. But brothers, let us just ask ourselves, what do we mean if we say a ministry is successful? Maybe we can get many different answers. What I would like to bring as an answer, one of the answers that we may think of: an effective ministry will be a ministry that make people what God wants them to be. It is a ministry that changes a person from what he is to what God wants that person to be. Or takes a person from where he is to where God wants him. Because brothers, many of us, and all the people, as we can say, we were not born right with God, being right with God. We were all lost. We all found ourselves in places where God did not want us to be when we come to know ourselves. Now, there must be a time when you hear the word of God, you respond to the message. There must be a change that takes place in your life. You must be able to witness and testify that I was like this, and now I have changed to be this because of the word of God. We sometimes find it difficult with other people to say that when you ask them, when did you become a Christian? you will hear many stories. One pastor told us in a class, he said, there was never a time when I was not a Christian. Because I started going to church, being led by my mother to the church, taking me to the church, and now I'm a pastor. Just everything happened automatically. There was never a time where I heard the word of God. Did you hear the word of God changing you? He said, no, I never needed it because I grew up in the church. Well, brothers, I don't know whether are there any people like that in this room, but truth be told, every one of us was born and grew up away from God until the time when that person hears the word. So that's where a minister comes in with the word of God to be able to bring this person back to the Lord. And the question that you must ask yourself when you have preached and you have served the church is whether is this church what God wants it to be? You must look at the church and ask yourself, is this church, are these people that have received my message, what God wanted them to be? Don't just be happy that I've preached, there are many people, the hall is full, but not knowing whether is the will of God being done in that place. So brothers, let us look what the word of God says in the book of John chapter 21. We will read from verse 15 to 19 and look at how Jesus prepared Peter for the ministry. What Jesus wanted to Peter have in his mind about the ministry that he was going to be in. We read from the book of John, chapter 21, verse 15 to 19. It reads as follows. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will get you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Is there any amen in this hall? Okay, thanks. So, this is the word of God, brothers and sisters, where I want us to look what Jesus had to do with Peter in preparation for the ministry that Peter was going to be involved in. And then we know that before this, there was a time when Peter denied Jesus three times. I hope you all know that. Just before Jesus' death. And after his resurrection, now Jesus confronts Peter with this question. Three times he asked him whether He loves him. And the Bible says Peter answered three times in a positive and said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." When Peter was denying Jesus Christ, that was a sign of weakness in his part. It was a sign of weakness in his commitment to his Lord Jesus Christ. Although he had earlier promised that he will never leave Jesus, he will never desert him. But now when times were tough, Peter had no alternative but to deny him. So it was a sign of lack of commitment to the Lord. He has pledged to follow wherever he goes. But now Jesus came back and asked him this question. And when he was asking this question, the Bible says Jesus wanted to know whether Peter loves him. Or else he wanted Peter to confirm his love for him. And the Bible says, or rather the Greek word that is used for the question that Jesus has asked, it means Jesus wanted to know whether Peter loves him affectionately, ardently, or perfectly. He wanted to know whether he loved him in such a way he was even prepared to die for him. And that's why now Peter had to make that confession. And as Peter was confessing that he loves Jesus Christ, then Jesus would say to him, "Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep." At the confession of Peter of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus then said, "This is the ministry that you must serve me with. You must feed my lamb, you must feed my sheep, you must tend for my sheep." That was, Jesus was putting the emphasis that a person who has to do God's work, it must be a person who has a genuine love for the Lord. In order for you to work for the Lord, you must have a love for Jesus Christ that is not hypocritical. There are people who will claim to love Jesus Christ, but when you look at the work they are doing for the Lord, it does not show that this person is driven by the love for the Lord he is serving. So, this is the requirement for a person who says he loves, or rather he works for the Lord. You must love the Lord. It was on the basis of the love that Peter will have for the Lord that his work will be successful and be effective. Do you love the Lord in such a way that you are prepared to die for the Lord? Do you love the Lord in such a way that you are prepared to leave some of the most valuable things that you love just for the sake of the Lord? Jesus wanted Peter to serve him with love. He wanted all the apostles to love him. And the Lord wants us to love him also in order to serve him in a way that is effective and that will bring the required results. What does love do? How does love, our love for the Lord, impact our ministry? If we love Christ, we will love the people we are preaching to. You will love the people that you are preaching to. You know, some people, you can see that they don't love these people that they are preaching to, but they have to preach because maybe they are getting paid for the work that they are doing. So they want to have their work done and be able to talk and say, I've done this, and then go home. They have no love for the people. They won't even give themselves time to talk, to share with the people that they are working with. They only meet the people in the pulpit, and after that they just leave. They have no time to listen to the complaints, to the compliments, to the concerns of the people. But now loving Jesus Christ, it means you will love the people that you are preaching to, that you are working with. Some ministers are so important that even ordinary church members, they cannot come nearer to them. They cannot talk to them. They are just afraid of the umfundis. Say, no, you cannot go nearer to umfundis. He's a man of God. You fear him. But it is the responsibility of a minister to make the people free, to talk, to complain, or even to advise the minister. You won't just ask, who are you to advise me? No, you listen to the person. Even if you see that this advice is not so important, but you just listen with interest to the person to show that you love this person. Loving Christ, it means you will be able to love the people that you are working with or among. And you will not take advantage of them. Some people, when they are at the pulpit, they will talk just the way they like with the people, as if they are speaking to small children. They can even vent their anger and show how angry they are at the people and demand things that people cannot provide sometimes. Some of the people have to go out and borrow monies in order to give the minister. No. The minister wants tithe. So please borrow me 200 rand so that I can go and tithe. Does that make a sense? You cannot be doing that. But people will demand that. Not caring where are these people going to get this. So, if you love people, you won't put them in such a strain. You must love the people that you work with. Don't take advantage of in order to enrich yourself. That will only happen if you love the Lord Jesus Christ more, or the way Jesus Christ was talking to Peter. If you love Jesus Christ, you will be able to glorify him, not yourself. You know, some people, when they preach or they work as ministers, you can see that these people are showing themselves off. They are selling themselves. They want people to see how great, how important they are. They take the glory to themselves. If you love God, you won't be doing that. You will always want to be small and make God great. There's a book that I once read which says, when people are big and God is small. So we see such things today. People trying to put in the people's mind how important they are. But they would want to glorify Christ in whatever they say. Sometimes, if you want to bring glory to Christ, you will have to tell the truth even when people do not like it. You will tell it as it is. There was a time when the Pharisees approached Jesus. Maybe they were trapping him somehow, But there are words that they talk to Jesus about him in Matthew chapter 22, verse 16. There are words that says, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully and care for no man, for you do not regard the position of man." Jesus was this preacher who will tell the truth regardless of what people are saying. If it is true, he will tell them. Really, if you like people, you will tell them the truth. You won't tell people what they want to hear, thinking that you are pleasing them while you are killing them. But if you truly love them with the love of God, you will tell them the truth. Even if it hurts, you will tell them. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He was an independent teacher, delivering his sentiments without regard to the fear or favor of men. Jesus Christ will tell the truth, not looking at what people are going to say, are going to like or hate him. If it is the truth, that's just the truth. Churches are filled with people who would not like to hear something hurtful said to them. They would not like to be confronted with their evil deeds. We know, brothers and sisters, that if a person says is he or she is a child of God, he must not continue sinning. The speaker here yesterday did say that if you are a child of God, you stop sinning. But if you continue, you are not a child of God. And if you are a minister who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't just let people go on sinning, come serve the Lord, and continue sinning, because we are very much concerned with the name of the Lord. We want the name of the Lord to be glorified. So if people will do other things while they claim to be Christians, then the word of the Lord, the name of the Lord is being dragged down. So if you are a child of God, you are a minister of the Lord, you will want glory to go to the Lord. And above all, if we love Jesus Christ, we will practice what we preach. You won't preach something else and do something else, but you will practice what you preach. Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." That is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You preach the word of God, you must do it with boldness, because you know that what you are preaching is what the people see you doing. The truth that you are telling the people is a truth that you have accepted, and the truth that you're living it, you are living yourself. So you'll preach with boldness. You will be a hypocrite if you are able to tell people to stop sinning while you yourself are busy sinning. And you cannot do that with boldness. You know, people can see you. Yesterday, again, the preacher spoke of the cloud of witnesses. And he said, unbelievers can be witnessing more to the life of a Christian, because some people will be free to do wrong things in front of the people who are non-believers and try to contain themselves when they are among the church members, because they know. But we preach, we practice what we preach. A life of the preacher is part of the message. If you are preaching, you have a message to tell the people. But also your life is part of your message. It is also preaching to the people. Therefore, if we say one thing in our sermons, but live in a different way, many people will reject our message. Our message through words is always strengthened, weakened, or even destroyed by our general behavior as preachers. You will be surprised if you see yourself that you are so much a powerful preacher, but now people are not, the ministry is not going forward. It is because what you are doing is destroying what you are saying. So you must practice what you are saying. That can only happen when you love the Lord, because you want the message to be heard, to be accepted, and people to live what you tell them to do. Peter understood Jesus' message very well. That is why in his book, the book of Peter, chapter 5, first book, verse 2 to 5 to 4, he has these words to say to the ministers. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter is now, after he has served the Lord, after he has heard the Lord telling him how to serve him, he is now advising the ministers like him, like me and you, that you must work within the church, not as lords, not trying to doing it for gain, but you must do the work of the Lord willingly, because you are driven by love for the Lord. We love Jesus Christ with genuine love. And there is a promise that when we have served the Lord well, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Brothers and sisters, do we still believe that there is a reward after this life? Do we still believe that? That there is a reward for our work, but that reward is after this life, not today. Some people no longer believe. They want to be rewarded today, and they reward themselves. They want to see themselves as celebrities, as people will be VIPs for the work that they are doing for the Lord. As wealthy people, they want reward. But what Peter is promising here is that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. Not today. He's not telling us of today, but he's telling us of the time when the chief shepherd is coming. Many of the ministers don't believe that. Some people, as they are here at the college, they have dreams that after I finished my degree, theological degree, I want to see myself, you know, like Pastor so-and-so, who is driving the latest car in the market, with a big church, with, you know, people have some dreams while they are still in the college. They are no longer dreaming of receiving a crown when Jesus Christ is coming. But that's what we are promised as the ministers who must work effectively for the Lord. Don't look for any reward from the people that you are preaching to or from any other person, but wait for the Lord to reward you. Instead of being a celebrated minister, Jesus was actually promising Peter that he was going to die for him. He had to look forward to how he was going to suffer for the Lord in the ministry and even die. That's why the passage we have read, it says Jesus was telling Peter about the kind of death he was going to die for the Lord. I think that's what we must look forward to as ministers, that we are prepared. We love the Lord in such a way that we are even prepared to die. We only want to tell people the truth that will save them and take them to heaven. Let me conclude, brothers and sisters, by saying, in order for you to be an effective minister, number one, you must love Christ with genuine love without hypocrisy. Number two, live a life that demonstrates the message you preach. Live a holy life. And number three, be prepared to suffer for the Lord. To be properly qualified for the ministry, your wisdom and holiness should always exceed those of the people that you are preaching to. Live in God, and God must live in you in order for you to be an effective minister. Let us pray. Father, we come to you now after having listened to your word, which, Lord, we trust and believe that that's what would prepare us as we are in this ministry of learning and studying your word, so that, Lord, we can go out and be the minister of your word who are faithful servants and doing your will. I pray, Lord, for each and everyone among us here, so that, Lord, whenever one looks at his motives or her motives and his intentions about your ministry, your Holy Spirit should guide and lead us according to your word. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and pray that as the day progresses, everything that is going to be done, be blessed by your word and the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.